Say amen. Amen. Brother Thompson did a fine job in filling in this morning, and we want to thank him for that. It's good as when we can look out in the audience and see familiar faces. We're glad to see Sister Lois doing better and back with us. We are praying for all of the sick and the shut in at anyhow. And we're glad to see Brother and Sister Cox here with us this morning. They're our guests this morning as well. And to anybody else that may be a guest, if I overlooked you, I apologize. But please don't hold me responsible for it. It's just my memory and not my heart. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from Ephesians chapter 3 and verses number 20. We're going to call our message this morning, "We Can Count on the Lord." We can count on the Lord. Let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. O righteous God, which art in heaven, we have been blessed once again because you have called our name to be among the land of the living once again. This gives us another opportunity to serve thee in spirit and in truth because it is your day today, O Lord. Father, we thank you for allowing us to get up, to wake up, to get up, and to be up and ready to come out and serve you. Father, we pray and thank you for the leaders of this congregation and their families, that they may continue to bring us, lead us through the turmoils of time and the ages that we live in, that they may bring the church into focus where it should be. Father, we thank you for the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far. We pray for them and their families as well. Father, we pray for the sick and the shut in everywhere, especially those who are members of the body of Christ. We pray and ask you, Father, if it be your will, that you would grant unto them healing, if your will be so. And Father, we pray for those who are missing among us here in the local congregation. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, and pray that they may be able to return soon to be with us once again. Father, we pray for those who might be traveling today, that they may have traveling grace and arriving mercy. Father, we thank you that they can have safety on their journey and safety on their return journey as well. Father, we pray this morning and ask you to bless all of those who are striving and struggling in this life. We pray that you would grant them their blessings as you see fit, O Lord. Father, we thank you for the one who went to yonder's cross, marched up Calvary's hill, stretched out his arm, and died on yonder's cross for on our behalf. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all of those who are in need this morning, Father. And we pray that you grant unto them the things that they are standing in the need of, O Lord. Father, you promised to give us our needs, supply our needs, and we just thank you and continue to pray for those who are in need. Father, we thank you so very much for everything you do for us, and we thank you for the Church of Christ, especially this local congregation here. We thank you, Father, especially for those who are holding up the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ. Thank you for everything, Lord, and it's in the name of your Son, Jesus. We continue to pray and ask all these blessings and many others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This morning, we can count on the Lord. God is still alive and well, in spite of the many attempts of men to destroy him. His book has been disputed. His name has been trashed. His commandments have been trivialized, but yet we are praying to him that he might continue to live on, and we know he shall, and know his will, his word will live on. They have tried to stop praying for him. Praying has been outlawed in some places. His name has been removed from our schools. Yet no matter what man has done to destroy him, God is still in charge. His word has not only and will never be changed. His powers are still beyond what any one of us can dream of having. No man has ever and never will be able to create like the great creator. Because our biggest plans are all minute to him. The Lord will always keep his promises. Men often make promises that they can't keep, either because they don't mean them or because they are unable to perform such. We just went through an election period where we heard many promises made by those who are running for an elected office. They promised from their campaigns to put two chickens in every pot, but none of them have promised to bring us a pot. There's no way they could possibly keep all the promises they have made to us. But I still hope that all of you got out and voted. But God is different. He has thousands of promises he has made, and not one was ever or will ever be broken. God made Abraham a promise in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. He told him in verse 2 that he would make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thee thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And verse number 3 in part, it reads, and it shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 14, we see that this promise is being fulfilled, what has been fulfilled to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. God keeps his promises, no matter how long ago they were made, no matter where it was made, nor to whom it was made. It is the God that makes grace abound toward us, according to 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 8. God can do many great wonders for us when we learn to accept his will. He is abundantly able to do all that we need. Let us learn to be careful when we make promises. Be sure we can fulfill them. Otherwise, a broken promise is just a dressed up lie, and it's not the truth. God can fix spiritual weakness. David was a man who found himself in trouble, and God sent Nathan to him to let him know of his transgression. The book of the 51st division of Psalms record David asking God to have mercy upon his soul, upon him in verse number 2. We find where he said, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. This is what we must do when we seek forgiveness from God. We must ask the Lord to forgive us and make us whole again. One who is away from God is usually miserable. Their life may seem like it's going all in the wrong direction. It's hard to understand why some people won't trust God. When he has demonstrated his great love, he gave us his son. Jesus substituted himself for us when we had no one else to stand up for us. There are a number of examples throughout the word of God where the people of God have become weak and needed the help of the Lord. There was Moses, who needed help in saving the Israelites from Pharaoh and the Red Sea. Pharaoh on the one end and the Red Sea in the front of them. The Lord moved both hurdles out of the way. There was Peter, who denied Jesus. Then there was the prodigal son who found himself dining with the pigs. Today there are many who may need to be in contact with the Lord in order that their lives may come together and be forgiven of their sins. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25 says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercessions for them. Jesus has and is the perfect one for us to come to. He lives forever, and once you come to know him, he will become a friend, one to make intercessions to our Father. God loves us, and he proved that when he sent Jesus to die in our place. He is the perfect Lord and the perfect Savior. We need to pursue God, and a lot of us seem to think that it should go the other way around, that God should pursue us. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that we need to pursue God and not the other way around. God can do for us what we can't do for ourselves. He is able to save us. He is willing to save us, and he's ready to save us. In John chapter 6 and the verses number 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That's Jesus speaking, church. If we but come to Jesus, he will accept us and he will not throw us away. How do we know? Because the word tells us that God can, but we must go to him. We have been told over and over again, and you have heard me say it over and over again, that the Lord shall return. In Acts chapter 11 and verse number 1, the men of Galilee were watching Jesus depart for heaven. A question was raised by two men in white apparel in Acts chapter 11 and verse number 1. They raised the question, they said, "Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which was taken is taken from us, up from you into heaven, shall so come in a like manner as you have seen him go in to heaven." Allow me to pose a question for a moment, if you will. What if Jesus does not return? Just hypothetically speaking, what if Jesus does not return? Well, this would mean that the two men dressed in white would have been hallucinating when they asked that question in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 11. It would mean that Jesus was lying in John 14 and verse number 3 when he said, "I go to prepare a place for you and I will come again." It would mean that Jesus, who never sinned or never lied, would all of a sudden become a false prophet. It would mean that all of the teachings of the Bible wouldn't have been false. It would mean that there would be no resurrection. Therefore, Job's question in Job 14, in verse number 14, it would be unnecessary, where he asked the question, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" And then he answered that same question in Job 19 and 25. So his answer would also be false. He said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon this earth." It would mean there would be no hope in eternity. It would mean no crown of righteousness laid up for us, as spoken of in 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 8. But oh yes, church, thank God today for all of these questions, all of these statements are in God's word. And yes, there will come a day when we shall see God, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone, I said everyone, may see him and receive the things done in this body according to what he has done, with whether it be good or whether it be bad. Now in our text, verse Ephesians 3 and verse number 10, our text describes the Lord as unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. This lets us know that whatever we can ask for of him, anything that we ask for, he is able to deliver. Now, I'm not saying he will, but I'm simply saying he is able to. I'm not saying that everything, every time you go to the Lord in prayer, that you would get what you ask for. But if he chooses to, he is able to. So we can trust on him and to do all things that we ask him that he promised to do as well. What we need to be more concerned about is this. Am I right with God? Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 12 offers us another word from God himself. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give. Every man according to his work shall be. Church, the Lord has given many biblical promises to us, and he has not lied about any of them. I would not be willing to trust my soul with guessing if he will or will not return. I think he shall, because the Bible made a promise that he shall come back. If I would be guessing on anything, I would be guessing that is my soul going to be in order when he comes back. Not if he's coming back, but when he comes back. I believe he shall return, and the Bible backs us up on that line, or so the case should be closed. It should be a closed matter. We shouldn't be trying to second guess the Bible. We will never be able to outthink the Lord, and we can just go on guessing and guessing and guessing. Forever and ever, our thoughts would never be as his are, according to Isaiah 55 and verse number 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Church, we need to try to stop trying to outthink God. Because you think that you are right, the Bible is already right. The Bible has been put here for our wisdom and to teach us knowledge and give us directions on getting to heaven. And when I think about it a little more, if the Bible would not be true, then how come the God that made and created us all, how would he know us all? How can he make that statement if he didn't make us all? How can God be God if he is not God? And I suggest to you this morning that God is God, and that he knows what he is doing. And when you go back to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God is able, church. The Lord can do for us more than we can ever do for ourselves. How can you put breath in your own body? How can you wake yourself up in the morning? I know what we all say. When I woke up this morning, when you went to bed last night, you say, when I get up in the morning. You yourself not knowing if you're going to get up or not, but it's the Lord's goodness that makes us get up and prevents us from staying asleep. The alarm clock did not wake you up. The alarm clock simply was a distraction to your sleep pattern. The alarm clock had to get awakened by it some kind of way on its own. And I suggest to you this morning that because man has created electric and technology, some of us sleep with our telephones under our pillows, so it'll alarm on you and wake you up. Now, I'm still old-fashioned. I've got a radio that wakes me up. As a matter of fact, I usually sleep with my radio on all night long, and it wakes me up to the sound of the all news station. And I wake up usually to bad news. I wake up usually to news that I've heard the night before. But God has touched me and opened the eyelids of my sleepy eyes, and I got up and opened my ears up to hear the radio making the sound that it makes. That's God, church, working. And God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. I know that without God, this earth would not be what it is today. And oh yeah, the world is bad. No doubt about it. Many of us live in neighborhoods where we nail our windows shut. Many of us live in neighborhoods where we don't dare go out on the front porch or dare go out into the backyard. But I tell you something, church, living with the Lord is much better than living without Him. And I suggest to you that you take it to heart in the Bible when it gives us all of these different directions and different ways and different promises of God. I suggest to you that you heed those promises. I suggest to you that you watch your step and make sure you're in tune or in step with the Lord. I suggest to you that you find yourself a closer distance to the throne of God. And if you find yourself a guilty distance, you do an inventory on yourself. If you find yourself a guilty distance from God's throne, you need to get closer, draw near to God. You need to make sure that God is working in your life. And you know, I like the way God treats us, because when He wakes us up on any given morning, it is to Him that we owe an allegiance of thanks. And I know some of us probably just roll out of bed and say, I'm up now. But you didn't get up on your own. You didn't get up by yourself once again. God allowed the angel of sleep to lift your eyelids and wake you, cause you to open your eyes, and then you get up. You wake up at least. I don't know if you get up. But yet God is so good to us. God is still good because He loved us so, according to John 3:16. So He sent His only begotten Son to bring us back into conformity with, because we were had no place and nowhere to turn to if it had not been for the Lord. I asked the question this morning, have you asked yourself what God has done for you? Have you asked yourself, what am I doing for the Lord? Ask yourself that question. Take a self-inventory. And then when you come up with the answer, you know in which direction you need to go. Do you need to get closer to God, or do you want to get farther away from God? You know, the world is enticing us with many different things today. Technology has improved so much. I had to drive somewhere yesterday, and I finally figured out how to use my telephone as a GPS or a navigational instrument. And when I first learned how to use it, I said, this is pretty great here. It gives me turn-by-turn directions, Brother Jackson, on how I need to go. It gives me a clue. It tells me things like, in a half a mile, turn to your right or get into the right lane. Now, I question myself sometimes. I said, how does this person in this telephone know where I'm going, since all I did was put in my destination? And I said, that's technology at work, Brother Carter. That's technology that's working for you. Well, now, when you think about it, the Lord is even smarter than that. The Lord has given us the wisdom and the knowledge to create these instruments of technology. And oh yes, I finally halfway learned how to text too. I promised that I was never going to get into it, but I'm still not instant messaging and all of that stuff. I still don't know about Twitter and all of that, but at least I'm moving a little bit forward. I'm trying to bring myself up a little bit, but I keep, when I get there, I usually fall backwards and say, I only need this at certain times. I don't want to get locked into this. I heard a report yesterday, that many people check their phones hundreds of times a day. Well, I say more power to them. I check mine maybe 3 or 4 times a day. And if I don't hear it ringing, I usually don't look at it. That's just like the computer at home. If you send me an email, it might take me a week, it might take you a week to hear back from me because I don't read emails all the time. I don't even get on the computer all the time. I just go on it when I figure it may be time that I check it. But I like God because God doesn't leave us hanging like I would leave us hanging. We can always count on the Lord to bring us into sync with Him by going to His Word, reading His Word, and learning to obey His will. I tell you, church, there's something good about God this morning. One of the things that's good about God is this. He woke us up this morning. I just told you that from up there, but I'm going to bring it back again. He woke us up this morning. He got us up. He gave us breakfast to eat if you chose to eat it. He gave us clothes for our backs to put on. He allowed us to be clothed in at least maybe not totally our right mind, but some portions of our right mind. Because He allowed you to know that it was Sunday morning and we ought to be headed to the household of faith. He let us have clothes to wear so we could put on and come out and look at least halfway decent. Oh yes, God is good to us. Jesus said in John 14 He was going to prepare a place for us. He gave us a future to look forward to. He gave us something that we can know that God is real. He gave us the ability to recognize our faults if we choose to recognize our faults. Sometimes some of us look at our faults and say, that's okay, it don't make no difference. But God has given us self-examination privileges just by going to the Bible. We can check ourselves. Are we in the right way or not? I think that many times we trust in man's promises, and we should be trusting in the promises of God. We should always trust in the promises of God, because God is able to keep all of His promises, no matter when He made them or at where He was when He made them. He shall and He will and He has kept many of those promises already, and some He still will keep those promises. But I thank God this morning that God is as good to us as He is. You know, if we were to be graded on our efforts toward God, some of us might get an F because we fail to treat God like He deserves to be treated. We fail to treat God the way He treats us. He loves us in spite of what we are and who we are. But sometimes we find ourselves in trouble with the Word of God because we're walking contrary to what the Bible teaches us. Sometimes God is not real to some of us. But I know that's nobody here because we all believe in the real God because we know He is real. We know heaven is real, but we also ought to realize that hell is real too. And once we realize the difference between the two of them, we ought to pick one of them and start working toward that direction. And if I were you, I would choose heaven. Because heaven, it's where we can live eternally in peace. Hell is not. But that's a different subject. But what I want to say to you this morning is if you take this self-inventory, that you find yourself, how do you find yourself standing with God? Ask yourself the question. And then fall on your knees. And ask God to bless you in whichever direction you find yourself. If it's in the wrong direction, ask Him to bless you that you may strengthen your life. If you find yourself going in the right direction, ask Him to make you even stronger that you may continue in that right direction. You know, the Bible tells me that hell is going to be awfully hot and heaven is going to be awfully peaceful if we get there. And I strive to get there. I don't know about you. Now, do I do everything right? No, sir, no, ma'am. I'm not a perfect individual, but neither are you. So you need to get, we all need to do a little homework on ourselves. Because the Lord, what can the Lord do for us? We can count on Him, that's for sure. And if we count on Him, we can go to Him and count Him in with us if we are living right. So the question becomes, how can I get there? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. But if you've already been there and you need to get back there, you ask the Lord to forgive you of your shortcoming, ask the church to pray for you, and don't be afraid to come forward. I tell you this all the time. Don't be afraid to come up here, face the audience, and be bold in your statements. Say, Lord, I have sinned, and I've asked the Lord to forgive me. Now I'm asking the church to pray for me. You don't have to say what you did. That's none of our business. That's between you and the Lord. But you just want us to pray for you and try to help you grow stronger. And if you've never been there, like I said, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. Brother Jackson loves to baptize, even though it's cold outside. Brother Jackson will take you in the water today. So if this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.